And now I'd like to turn the time over to the governor of the great state of Utah, Governor John Huntsman.
Thank you, John, and thank you all for coming out. Dave, thank you for the great job you do representing Northern Utah. You're so effective in your outreach. And for all of us who are headed to Wyoming, some by four-wheel modes of transportation, others by two-wheel modes of transportation, and I'll give you three guesses what mode of transportation I'm on today, and the first two don't count. I certainly hope Governor Freudenthal doesn't think we're declaring war on his state. But if you get in any trouble there at the border, John, you make sure you give us a call. Speaker Curtis, I know, will bail you out real fast. We're grateful to have Speaker Curtis here as well. He's on two wheels, along with some of the rest of us. And Senator Hale is here. And two or four, I don't know what it will be for Karen. Four, okay. I've got room on the back of mine, Karen. I want to thank so many here who are sponsors. I want to thank the professionals who are here in transportation policy. This is really a chance to recognize what is one of the great wonders, not just of the United States, but one of the great wonders of the world, and that is our interstate transportation system. It represents mobility. It represents freedom. It represents our ability to patch together the lower 48 in a way that helps us build our economies in a most unique way. And when you look at the roads behind me and those that are connected to it, we have the corridor that goes from Mexico all the way to Canada, and of course the east-west corridor as well, I-15 and I-80 and then I-70 south of here. You think of the tens of billions of dollars that flow through these arteries during the course of the year, and you think of the people who get to visit this great country of ours through these arteries as well. It's just a remarkable system. People have likened the interstate system to the Great Wall of China, which was built about the 4th century B.C. And no one knows quite how many people it took to build the Great Wall of China, but that was purely a defensive structure against the invading Mongols from the north. And some have compared it to the Great Pyramid of Egypt, which, of course, was purely a religious shrine for the most part. It was a temple for the worshipers. It took about 25 years to build, half of the time that we're now celebrating the interstate. And when you think about the interstate system, 40,000 miles of two-lane thoroughfare, 55,000 bridges, and countless, I can't remember the man hours it took to build it. John probably knows off the tip of his tongue. I think it was 2.4 billion man hours to build the darn thing. This is something worth celebrating. And at the 50-year mark, I think it's only appropriate that we all stand up here as sponsors, as public policy officials, as elected officials, as transportation experts, and take a few hours just to celebrate what this means to our great country and specifically our great state. More than anything else, it provides that very important commodity called mobility, without which we cease to exist. We forget, and having lived overseas a few times in my life, there is no other country quite like it. No other country in the world prides itself on the level of mobility and freedom that we have. It would be absolutely impossible without the interstate system. And it goes back to, well, we've got Dwight D. Eisenhower's great-grandson here. And we're delighted to have him. We were talking earlier, and John mentioned it briefly, about when President Eisenhower, right at the end of World War I, 1919, I don't think it was part of the Treaty of Versailles, but perhaps it might have been, but he came rolling through here looking at mobilization capabilities for troops after World War I, and I think he got stuck out there in the salt flats. It shows how difficult it was getting from here to San Francisco. And then along came the Transportation Assistance Act of 1938, which basically, for the first time, talked about the reality of a couple of major corridors, east-west and then north and south. And that was followed up by a series of funding measures and ultimately construction back in the 1950s. And here we are 50 years later recognizing this great, I'm going to call it a wonder of the world, because that's exactly what it is. But thank you all for joining us here today, and I want to pay recognition as well to the ethanol people who are here for reminding us that in our future, we've got to think more and more of renewable forms of fuel. It's going to be on my mind as I cruise up the canyon toward Wyoming. We're not only looking at new ways of transporting ourselves and new ways of getting around, given the sheer volume of traffic in today's economy, but also the new fuels that are going to get us there over the years to come. And we need to be thinking more and more about renewable varieties. And I just want to salute the ethanol people who are here as part of that overall effort. Thank you all very much. I'm going to lead out from what they say. And so if you wind up in northern Utah, some call it Idaho, as opposed to Wyoming, don't blame me. Blame the Utah Highway Patrol, because I know they're going to be out in front of me. Thank you all so very much for being here.